because the Christian prince had come. Anytime something is about to happen, no president, no one can get into power without God's approval. There is always a clear thing that happens in the supernatural before it is manifested in the physical. So you and I must be able to tap into the supernatural, because when we tap into the supernatural power of God, anything you and I are looking for, we will be able to get. Can I have an amen? Because the decisions are made in the corridors of power. Rather, the decisions are made in the corridors of heaven. And we read from Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and let's look at it in the Amplified Version. Ephesians chapter 1, let's start from verse 17. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him.
Amen.
Let's look at it in Amplified, thank you. Starting from verse 17. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amplified Version. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now verse 19. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe.
Amen.
So there is unlimited, immeasurable power. Glory to God.
Together.
There is immeasurable. You can't measure it. The Bible says that the Spirit was given to Jesus without measure. You and I, we have a measure of the Spirit of God, or of the anointing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But there is an immeasurable, unlimited power available to the Christian.
Amen.
And that is the supernatural power of God that you and I can experience.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Yeah.
But we can experience it if we tap into it. And we tap into the supernatural power of God by faith. This supernatural power solves every problem. This supernatural power takes you forward. This supernatural power moves you to the next level. This supernatural power causes you to prosper. This supernatural power delivers from every evil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we talked about this yesterday, that we have immeasurable power available to us. Glory to God. Don't leave here without understanding how to tap into the supernatural power of God. This supernatural power of God delivers from evil, delivers from sin, delivers from diseases, heals every sickness. Oh, when you tap into the supernatural power of God, cancer becomes nothing.
Amen.
Death becomes nothing.
Amen.
Because of the supernatural power of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
There are so many people who have tapped into the supernatural power of God and have been healed of cancer and many diseases. You can increase my volume just a bit. Many diseases. Many people have received fantastic miracles. You can lower it just a bit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the supernatural power of God.
Hallelujah.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then we began to talk about how to walk in the supernatural.
Yes.
The supernatural opens the doors to the anointing, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and his power. So you and I can walk in the power of God.
Amen.
I said you and I can. Do anything except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Power Authority is delegated power. You and I have authority over all the power of the devil. It means that unlimited, immeasurable power is at our disposal. We don't have the power, but we have the authority to access. Ooh, glory to God. To access the power. Can I have an amen? So you and I must understand and desire it. Jesus said he will not throw his pearl before swine. Do you want the anointing?
Yes.
Do you want the power of God?
Yes.
Then you must desire it. Amen. Now, you tell me, if you were God, remember that you and I are very, very, our wisdom is so low compared to God's. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But nevertheless, will you give precious, your precious life, your precious resources, your precious power to someone who will hold it, put it in their pocket, and sit on it? How can you and I expect God to give us this authority for such power to just sit on it? Anyone who wants the power of God can be worthy of the power if they are going to use that power.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
It means that you and I must be ready to do something for God with the power.
Amen.
That's one thing. There is also accessing the power for your own miracles. I don't want to just access the power of God for my miracles, but I want to be a vessel that the power can be flowed through.
Amen.
And I pray that you also receive that.
Amen. Jesus.
Now, we talk about ways to walk in the supernatural. We said number one is the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua or Yehoshua, can you close the door? We are disturbing. Yes. Yehoshua or Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. I see five people here full of the spirit of wisdom. Receive it in Jesus' name, whoever you are. Yes, the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift in thee by the putting on of the hands of the presbytery. 2 Timothy 1:6. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Thou stir up the gift of God. Thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You receive a spiritual transfer also by the laying on of hands. Acts 13, 1 to 3. Am I preaching to somebody here?
Yeah.
Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mania the Tetrarch, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord, as they worshiped the Lord, as they blessed the Lord, as they thanked the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, separate me, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Next verse. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Hallelujah.
Now, in the past, in verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. So it means that Paul or Saul, at that time, Saul of Tarsus and Barnabas were either a prophet, a teacher, or a prophet and teacher. So they were either a prophet, so Saul of Tarsus was either a prophet or a teacher, or he had the two. Barnabas was either a prophet, a teacher, or one of the two. But after they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And after they prayed and fasted and laid their hands on them, then the laying on of hands commissioned Saul and Barnabas to become Apostle Paul and Apostle Barnabas.
That's right.
I thought you put your hands together. So laying on of hands commissions us. Laying on of hands gives us access to the power.
Ooh,
actually, I have not just myself, but many have laid hands on people and they have received healing from every kind of disease by the laying on of hands. Blind eyes have seen by laying on of hands. Deaf ears have received healing by the laying on of hands.
That's right.
The laying on of hands, there's a supernatural transfer.
That's right.
That's why the woman with the issue of blood, she saw Jesus. She heard of him. Many people were touching him. Touching. And Jesus was just moving. And then the woman said, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll have access to supernatural power.
Amen.
So she went through the press and touched the hem of his garment, his talis. And the fountain of her blood was dried up. Then the apostles who were devoid of the anointing at that period were asking, who touched? Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, but you see everyone thronging and touching you, and you can ask who touched me. But Jesus continued to ask until she told him the very matter. And he said, daughter, thy faith have made you whole. So you will see that she had access to the supernatural by a touch. Sometimes there's a spiritual transfer or virtue. And the Bible says, and Jesus, knowing that virtue or supernatural power had gone out of him, asked, who touched him? And you and I have access to that supernatural power. And Jesus says, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me.
Amen.
Then we talked about the next, number two, Luke 11:13, the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. And then the next is prayer.
Hallelujah.
Prayer. Prayer. Supernatural power of God can take you out of any problem. There's no problem exempt from the supernatural power of God. Now, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. My children, they are here. They will be honest and they will let you know. I've not given them a stone for... Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Or verse 11. If a son... Well, then it qualifies. You have a son here. So, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Have you been given a stone because you asked for bread? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Am I giving you a snake? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No. Then the next verse. If ye then being evil, know how to give good, and the Bible says, good and advantageous gifts unto your children. How much more, glory to God, if I can do, give at least a good gift, how much more shall our Heavenly Father, who did not spare his own son for us, who gave us everything, who gave us his best, how much more shall our Father, which is in heaven, give the Holy Spirit or the supernatural power to them that ask him? Now, Amplified makes it clear where there's a separation between those who have access to the supernatural and those who do not. Do you want to know what it is? It's right here. If you then be evil as you are, know how to give good gifts that are to their advantage to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask? That's where the separation comes. Many ask a few times and don't continue. But continue to ask. I see you continue to ask.
Amen.
I said, I see you continue to ask.
Amen.
I said, I see you continue to ask. Amen. In Jesus' name. And you receive the supernatural power of God. I said, you will receive it.
Amen.
It's your portion. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And many people, they ask for some time and they don't get it. And they say, it's not my portion. It's your portion.
Amen.
I said, it's your portion.
Amen.
They ask for a few months and don't get it. Look, when you want the supernatural power, because sometimes it can take years. It can take years sometimes. For some, it can take years. For some, it can take minutes. It didn't take me minutes, but it can take you minutes.
Amen.
Glory. I said, I didn't take minutes, but I can take you minutes.
Amen.
Going forward, by the grace of God, it will take minutes.
Amen.
Hey! I said, it will take minutes.
Amen.
It will take minutes. Amen. It will take minutes.
Amen.
And you walk in the power of God.
Amen.
You see that your problems, you'll be too big for your problems.
Amen.
I said, you'll be too big for your problems.
Amen.
So when your problems see you, they'll have to bow.
Amen.
There is a difference between you going over the mountain and you leveling the mountain.
Amen.
The supernatural power of God causes you to level the mountain.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I said, level the mountain.
Yeah.
I said, level the mountain.
Yeah.
I see you leveling the mountains.
Yeah.
I said, I see you leveling the mountains.
Yeah.
When, see, when there's a proclamation, jump, if you can jump, jump.
Yes.
Someone, is it, there was someone who could not see well. And the doctors made it clear, you cannot drive at night. And I said, receive your eyesight. Receive your eyesight. And she said, she just picked it. Since then, 2020 vision.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
What? Like, what? Receive God's power in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Many have received. Jesus, there was a certain man who understood the principle of the spoken word,
which will be what we are about to do, the next point.
The spoken word. And he asked a centurion, he said, my servant, he sent messengers to tell Jesus, my servant is sick. Please come and heal him. And Jesus said, I'm coming. Then the servant said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy. Because I'm not even a Jewish person. I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy. But just say in the word, because I'm a man with people over me and I have people under me. And I can tell someone, come and he comes. Sit, he sits.
Yes.
Get up, he gets up.
Yes.
So because of that, I know what authority means.
Yes.
So you just need to speak the word.
Speak
glory.
The word.
Speak the word and I know my servant to be healed. And
Amen.
Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. And he said, your servant is healed. Anytime the words of Jesus are spoken, power is released.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three. Now we get into this today's
Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's start from one. Very important. Oh, foolish Galatians. Or
he wrote a letter to the church at Galatia and called them foolish because they were behaving in a foolish way. Because they were doubting Jesus. Certain things concerning Jesus. No time to get into it.
Who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you observed some laws or because you heard the word of faith?
What the answer to those who received the Holy Ghost? What's the answer?
I hear of faith.
Yes.
Next verse.
Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So this is not some sin they were committing. It's because of their unbelief in the truth of the word gospel. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, or the power of God, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Look at it in the NLT. The word of faith, the proclamations of faith from an anointed person. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and works miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ.
Hallelujah.
About Christ the Savior.
Amen.
About Christ the Deliverer. About Christ the Healer. About Christ the soon and coming King.
Yes.
You believe the word. And because of that, the power of God was released.
I see God's power released.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the third is by the word of God. The spoken word. So we've talked about the word of God. Now the spoken word. The word spoken word. The spoken word and proclamations by the preacher or by someone who is anointed will do great things. What do you think? Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Are you hearing the word? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotence means no power. So many people know the impotence for the part of a man. But impotence, so it means there's no power there, power is finished. But there is also impotence in the body, or in the feet, or in the hands, no movement, dead. How many I get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But blood could still be flowing, otherwise it'll be cut off. But dead. No power. In his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same head. Paul speak. Head. Paul speak. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Look at it from verse 8 in NLT. So the word spoken released faith to tap into the supernatural power of God. Many Christians miss that. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. There's a difference between a miracle with someone who's never walked and someone who's walked and cannot walk again. He was listening to Paul preach. He was listening as Paul preached. He was listening to the word of faith. And Paul noticed him and realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up! And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. The word preached activated faith that activated the supernatural power of God. May you walk into the supernatural
Amen.
Power of God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you see that this supernatural power of God was preached, or the word was given, and the man who needed it used it to faith was generated for that man, and he was able to access the supernatural power of God to heal him. In the same way, Paul also, Saul of Tarsus or Apostle Paul, he was given the word of faith, and he was also able to tap into the supernatural power of God to help the man. What a blessing. The word. I said, what?
Word.
Acts chapter 10, verse 36. The word is very important. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. So Apostle Peter is in Cornelius' house and is just talking to them about what happened with Jesus. Because they didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. They just were servants of God. They just loved God. Cornelius' house. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Remember that Peter is preaching the word of faith, preaching that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who was about doing good and healing others to oppress the devil. Peter was proclaiming the gospel to the house of Cornelius. Verse 40. Him God raised up in the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Still talking about Jesus. And he commanded, next verse, to him give all the apostles witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. The Holy Ghost fell on them by the word. Oh, as I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost is falling on them. As I'm preaching the word. As Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. I said, well, the Holy Ghost fell on them. That is my story and your story. May the Holy Ghost fall on us. And what was the result? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want from me before I go? He said, I want a double portion of your power or of your anointing. He said, if I just ask the hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken away, you'll get it. If you don't see me, you won't get it. It meant he needed to be close. Right after that, Elijah will tell Elisha, can you wait behind? I'm going to Bethel to sort a few things out. Elijah said, me? No way. I'm going to stay with you in, you know, until you die or I die. I'm not leaving you.
That's right.
Then he was going to another place, to Jordan or to Bethel, and he said, Elisha, can you wait behind? There was always going to be a reason. You are always going to be tempted to leave your place. You are always going to be tempted to just draw back. You and I would always be tempted to wait behind until he was walking and talking. The Bible says, and they walked and talked. And they walked and talked. So he was able to hear the word of faith. God anointed Elijah. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. They walked and they talked. Ezekiel 2:2. The spoken word, the word of God. That's why you and I must eat the messages. Eat the messages. Eat the messages. Eat the messages. Are you going to eat the messages?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the messages I'm talking about? Eat. Go on podcast and download Dag Heward Mill and eat it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? And eat it. Go on a podcast. Download. And eat the messages. What I mean, eat the message. I don't mean take your phone. I say, eat the messages. You eat something, you open your mouth and you eat something. You let something enter into your mouth. You can eat the word of God by taking a podcast, listening over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes a part of you. Until what becomes a part of you? The word of faith.
Amen.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake. And set me upon my feet, that I heard him that speak unto me.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit entered, glory. The Spirit entered into me. And when the Spirit of God enters into you, you will be set on your feet.
Amen.
You will be established.
Amen.
You will be set strong and firm on your feet. Amen. And you will be able to hear more.
Amen.
And hear what God has to say.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody?
Amen.
Luke 6:18. So it's very important, the word, the preaching, the proclamations. That's the second way to walk in the supernatural. Luke 6:18. Are you hearing the word?
Yes.
And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Let's start from 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and great multitudes of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. There is a crucial point here: to hear and then. Jesus taught and then healed. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity. Number 4, anointing oil. Mark 6:7. We'll skip a few verses because we're looking for 30. Always important to get a context of the message. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power, glory, and gave them supernatural power over unclean spirits. Gave them what? Power over unclean spirits. Next verse. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. Continue. Verse 9. But be shod with sandals. Next. These are just instructions. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Continue. And whosoever shall not receive you. Continue. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Verse 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them.
Amen.
Anointing with oil. We have oil here. Hallelujah! For those who want the supernatural power with the access, there'll be laying on of hands. That'll be one. Oil be poured. Spoken word. You get a whole collection of it. It's all connected. Prayer. Praise God. One of them will hit you.
Amen.
Hey, I said one of them will hit you.
Amen.
James 5:14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The next verse. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Access to the supernatural power of God. Number 5, anointed handkerchiefs and aprons. Acts 19:11-12. That one, I don't think we'll have that today. Even though I've prayed over anointing oil and given to someone and great miracles occurred through that oil. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them through the handkerchiefs and aprons. Wow. There was so much power that as Peter was moving by his shadow, people were being healed.
Wow.
I see people who are going to walk in that power.
Amen.
If you don't want it, I do. How many want that power? As you are walking, people are just bringing the sick, just lining them up on the streets, so that perhaps your shadow will be cast on them and they will heal. You see, there was so much power. I'm sure Jesus, there are many things he did that are not written in the Bible. That's what John says. Mm-hmm. But it was not a small thing for Peter. It was very wild. You lie to Peter, no, the key, you are dead. How many Christians will be dead? Lying to their pastors. You know the story about the death through Peter? Mm-hmm. Ananias and Sapphira. Mm-hmm. Hey. So we must be very careful. These days, we must be careful. What happened was a man and his wife. People were selling land and giving it to the church. Someone would come, John asked him, I have sold my whole land for $10,000. Here's all the $10,000. Everybody clap for them. Someone will say, I sold my land for $20,000. I'm giving you $2,000. And Ananias and Sapphira, why? They sold their land for $10,000 and said, we sold it for $6,000. Here's all our money. Then Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart and tempted you to lie to the Holy Ghost? You have not lied to men, but unto God. He fell immediately and died. But immediately. But Peter said, Ananias, let's start from this. This is verse 1. It is wow. Those things don't happen much now, otherwise people will die. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. You see, sometimes the wife might have said, I don't know, that is a good idea. I'm doing it. Okay, I agree. Sometimes you don't need to agree to certain wrong things. No, I don't agree. If you are doing it, I can't say anything about it. I accept it. No, I don't accept it, but you can do what you want. I don't want to be having a consequence. That's your problem. Yeah. You see why? And cut back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why didn't you say, I sold it for 10,000 and here is 6,000? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Yes. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now there's always a chance for the next person. Next person. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. They didn't have, like, African where we take months. They don't do those things. And the young men, next verse. And it came, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. If I hear this, I'll be afraid. If I were here, and someone asked me, my husband is supposed to tell them that it was 6,000 instead of 10,000. And I'm asked, did you sell it for 6,000? I'll be like, hey, let me be honest. Second chance. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much.
Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband.
Two lives.
3 hours. In the space of 3 hours. A man and his wife. Lord, there's power. So you and I, we must respect the power. Respect the power. Of course, now, you see, and the reason is because people were lying to Peter a number of times.
Yeah.
But there are times that God is in something. And God has sanctioned something. When it is God who has sanctioned something and Peter is asking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's similar to God asking because God told Peter to ask without Peter even knowing what's going on. So as soon as he lied to Peter, it was God he lied to because God is the one who was asking that question. So there are many interchanges. You never know which one it is. But of course, there's no dying now. But there are all sorts of issues and consequences. The power of God is at our disposal. I said the power of God is at our disposal. Walk in it. Now, there are divine laws of the supernatural. I'll give you this one. There are four laws of the supernatural. The first law is the law of divine selection. The second law is the law of repeated and sustained ministration. The third is the law of humility. Hallelujah. And the fourth is the law of spiritual timing. The law of humility. Many Christians are not humble for God to do things for them. Many Christians are not humble to submit to, like this service. There are many people, especially in the when people feel they know or they have money. There are many people who will be walking out. Of course, this is a convention, so we are going to stay here a bit longer. Service is usually from 10:30 to 12:30. But there are some people, if you have to go to work, it's different. But there are some people who say, I don't have time for this. It was supposed to be 2 hours and walk out. You just understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To go and sleep or go and watch TV. Or watch a game. It's different if you have to go to work or you plan something. I'm just giving the example because how will God see it? If maybe God, you've been praying for something and God wants to give it to you in a service. Let's take it that God has, you've been praying and fasting for something. And God says, today I'm going to give it to you. But you are not humble enough to wait. The law of humility will not work for you and you miss your blessing. Maybe if you really urgently need to do something, God will find another way. But God can't watch you and say, I'm going to give it to you when you said you had to rush it and watch TV.
Wow.
Don't shut me down. I'll find myself preaching here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The law of humility is that I'm not going to humble myself before God to ask him if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Yes.
I will heal them. But a woman with the issue of blood, she was humble. She had suffered many things of many physicians. And it kept getting worse. To go to physicians, to humble yourself for them to examine you with blood, always examining, then it messes, it doesn't work. It gets worse. Then they keep examining you and examining you. Oh, come, you feel bad. It's humiliating. Humiliating. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It's humiliated, but she humbled herself and said, let me touch the hem of his garment. The law of humility. Some people can be fasting, praying, crying to God, God, will you not hear me?
God, don't you care? And God is about to answer your prayer. But you are not humble enough to wait, or humble enough to ask God, or humble enough to just follow God or serve God. Humble enough to obey the word. God says, obey the word. You have a beef against someone. Forgive that person. You are not humble enough to do that. And you miss the blessing. The hour of visitation came and you missed it. There's a woman who had breast cancer of the left breast. On her deathbed, and was given up by medical science on her deathbed, waiting to die, couldn't get up. And the pastors prayed all night. Results were zero. Then a man of God who had power, or who had access to the power, the supernatural power of God, many cancer healings, went to the house and prayed. After an hour, he said, no, there's nothing wrong. Excuse me. He went to pray and ask God why. God says she has unforgiveness. Go and talk to her. Do you have unforgiveness against someone? Oh, my cousin swindled me. If she was not humble enough to follow that word and humble herself to forgive that person. So the man of God said, ask God to forgive you and forgive the person. As soon as you forgive the person, God told him in his heart, cast out the spirit with your word. I cast you out, spirit of infirmity. Get out! That was it. Immediately she got up and started serving the people. Cancer gone. Dr. Cho, they have a prayer mountain. There's a lady who had throat cancer. Coming to the pastor every time. Pastor, pray for me. You pray for her, no results. Every day, pray for me, no results. Every day, pray for me. And then the pastor said, you know what? The results are not working. Go to the prayer mountain. I'm saying, go to the prayer mountain and write and say, confess, by his stripes, I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I was healed. Write it out, repeat it 1,000 or 10,000 times. Repeat it, and then come back. Many people will say, what's he talking about? But she humbled herself. By the time she finished the 1,000 times or 10,000, when she came back, she told the man of God, I finished. He said, you can talk now. Completely healed. The law of humility. Another person would have said, what's the point? Why am I going to do this? Naaman the Syrian.
Yes.
See, that's Christian. Christians do that in many ways. We are not humble enough. And that's why we miss the hour of visitation. Naaman the Syrian. Elisha did not even see him. Said, go into the Jordan. Look, I've seen the Jordan. I went to Jerusalem. It will take a lot. Unless I know that there's glory there, I'll not enter that place. It's dirty. The real Jordan. Dirty. I think they've cleaned it up now and people are using it. When I went to Jerusalem for dirty! And I'm very sure that the germs there can kill you. You don't even need to drink it. It will kill you. All the diseases. So, at that time, it was much bigger. Elisha said, go to the Jordan and dip. The man said, how can I do this? I'm the army general. Me, army general. I'm going to bath in it because I have leprosy. I'm going to bath in it. No, I'm not going to do it. And the young girl said, but if he told you to go and clap and dance naked, you would have done all these wild things. What is wrong with just going to the Jordan? Ah, but it's a little boy peeping in the water. You tell me I should go and dance. The Bible says that he jumped. Check 1, 2, 3. As he kept on going, was it 7 times? He was completely healed.
Amen.
He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Many Christians must learn to humble themselves. You can't see God physically here, but you can see him in his word.
Yes.
And you can serve him. Oh, I want to serve God. How can you serve the Bible? What is a physical Bible? How are you going to? Jesus is the word. How am I going to serve him? How are you going to serve him? You serve him in his kingdom.
Yes.
Representation of the church.
Yes.
That's how you serve God. Many people must decide to humble themselves. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Then that they gently see him. The law of humility. The law of divine selection. Why should God choose you? Why should God choose me? Why did God choose Mary to carry Jesus? Why Mary? There were many young virgins in Israel. Why was Mary chosen? The law of divine selection. Why did Jesus go to the pool of Bethesda? And all the people who were sick, he went straight to one man. Why that one man? And said, "Will thou be made whole?" And he said, "I have no man to put me into the water." He was there for 38 years. Why? Jesus went straight to the man, healed him, and walked straight out. There is something that God is looking for. Why did God choose David the king? Out of all the brothers, why did God choose David the king? We know that God had to choose from the house of Jesse. But why David? Out of all the brothers, there was something that David had that the brothers didn't have. God said, "I've rejected one, I've not chosen the other." But man, the father lined up all the sons, but the proper one. At least so far as God is concerned. "I've rejected this one. He looks like him. I rejected him. I've not chosen him." Until all of them were rejected. Then someone said, "Are these all your sons? It has to be your house. God told me it was your house. The power was too strong. The anointing was too strong. I know I heard right. Are these your only sons?" "No, there's another one, a young boy. He's looking after the sheep, the few sheep." Someone said, "I'm not going to sit down till he comes." As soon as David came, I'm sure God was excited on his throne. He said, "This is my boy. This is the guy. This is the guy. Anoint him. This is the one I've chosen. Anoint him now." The law of divine selection. What caused God to choose? Out of all the widows, what God caused God to choose the widow of Zephaniah? What caused God? Jesus said, "Look, there was a tower at Siloam which fell and killed many people. We are not better than them." What caused some to escape and some not to escape? The law of divine selection. But we know that God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So you and I, in order to be selected by God for the blessing, we must make sure that our hearts are totally devoted to Jesus. Amen. Totally devoted to Jesus. Amen. When our hearts are totally devoted to Jesus, Jesus will select us.
Amen.
And if Jesus selects you, no one can deselect you.
Amen.
If Jesus selects you, no one can stop it.
Amen.
No one can stop it. You can't even stop it. But our hearts, we must have a heart for Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus must know that we are sold out.
Yes.
I'm sold out to you.
Yes,
I said I'm sold out to
yes,
you.
Lord.
I can do anything. I can leave anything. I can go anywhere. I can do anything to prove to you, Jesus, that I'm sold out for you, Jesus.
Amen.
Then you select you.
Amen.
You select you.
Amen.
The law. I pray that the supernatural power of God will operate in our lives.
Yeah.
And we will walk in it. Shall we stand to our feet?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. The law of divine selection. The law of divine selection. I want us to pray. But before we pray, I want us to do something very, very important. Just as pray to the Lord. I want us to do something. Let's do something. Let's sing a song about our surrender to Jesus. About our surrender to Jesus. I want to tell the Lord that I surrender to you. I surrender. Thank you. Forgiven. If you know in your heart that you are far away from God, but you want to come back to God, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, or you want a fresh start and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want the new birth experience. If you are like that, just raise your hands wherever you are and I'll share a word of prayer with you. If you want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. Just for a short time, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I've heard the message and I want to give Jesus my life. I want him to take care of me. I want him to take control of my life. Just one more time. You can raise your hands and I'll pray with you. If you are watching also, you can just raise your hands if you are there and you want Jesus as your Lord. Let's repeat after me. Now, this is very important. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 18 that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Because with the heart we believe and are made righteous, and with our mouths we confess and are saved. So let's repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus
Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we bless and worship you. But now let's pray to God. We serve the supernatural God. And we want to trust God for breakthrough, whatever